Baseball insider Andy Carboni is joining us here on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell. Andy, welcome. Good to be talking with you again on a beautiful sunny day.
Yeah, that's a nice thing for a change, having some sun out there. It's great to be back talking baseball with you, Bill. Absolutely.
All right, Andy. Red Sox fell to the Tigers last night. They got the game in, unfortunately. But what's the update on the Boston 9?
Well, certainly last night was not a night you wanted to be sitting out at Fenway Park, but the Red Sox seem to be coming back down to earth a bit since last we spoke. Last night, the Sox lose to the Tigers 6-5, 10 innings over on Jersey Street. J.D. Martinez did hit a two-run homer to tie the game in the bottom of the eighth, and Xander Bogaerts almost won the game in the bottom of the ninth. He lined out to left with the bases loaded and two outs. But then Garrett Whitlock came in relief, gave up a three-run homer at the top of the tenth. The Sox did battle back to score twice in the bottom of the frame before leaving the tying run on second base. So with the loss, Sox dropped to 18-13, but they're still in first place in the AL East, but now their lead down to a game and a half over the Yankees and Rays. This afternoon, the Sox wrap up this three-game homestand against the Tigers at 1-10, then they'll head to Baltimore for four games with the Orioles. Also, over the weekend, the Sox did drop three of four games to Texas Rangers. They're the worst team in the AL West, and obviously the Tigers the worst team in the AL Central. So these are teams that you need to be beating up on and getting some wins. The Red Sox have had their issues, and part of that issue, Bill, is bottom half of that batting order. Just not getting the job done, batting a collective 186 at this point. Hunter Renfroe comes in with an average of 208 starting today. Franchi Cordero at 153. Bobby Dalbec batting a .183. Then Marwin Gonzalez finally got over the 200 mark. He's now at 205 after last night's game.
Yeah, it's amazing how things can change from week to week. Coming out of spring training, we thought Bobby Dalbec was going to be leading the team offensively for the first the month of April for sure. And then the first few weeks of the season, we thought, well, J.D. Martinez, he's not going to be helping us out for a while. But, man, he's 10 home runs now in early May. So things can change. What about on the what's up with the Red Sox pitching situation?
Well, the pitching has been a bright spot, which really wasn't expected from the team. But Sox closer Matt Barnes, he was named American League Reliever of the Month for April. Barnes had six saves, an ERA of 2.57. He had 25 strikeouts and just 14 innings of work.
Other notes with the team, Andy?
Well, some potential good news for down the road. Chris Sale threw off a mound on Tuesday. It was the first time he had done so since having Tommy John surgery last March.
All right. And let's see here. What do we have on Nesson Plus or on the Nesson Red Sox highlights?
Well, if you're looking for a definite Red Sox win today, Bill, you put on Nesson Plus. Tonight's Red Sox on this day. First pitch tonight at 9, a game from May 6th of 2013. Dustin Pedroia, Stephen Drew, Shane Victorino all hit home runs. Red Sox beat the Twins 6-5 at Fenway.
Oh, some great names out of the past. Well, Willie Mays turns 90 years old today, and I got to share a story, Andy. It was on June 22nd, 1970. I was at the third-to-last game at the old Crosley Field in Cincinnati. So that dates me a little bit, I suppose, as a youngster. And Willie Mays hit two home runs in that game. Can you imagine being able to watch Willie Mays hit a couple of home runs? I looked that up. I knew he hit one, but I looked up the box score, which, by the way, Baseball Almanac, I mean, you can go on almost any date and look at a box score and notes on games. It's kind of an incredible online little feature if you're ever interested in doing that. I'm sure there are other ways to get that information, but I had not done that until very, very recently. So what else do you have, Andy?
My question is, how were you ending up in Cincinnati at Crosley Field? That is an amazing story on its own, never mind seeing Willie Mays hit two home runs.
Yeah, my sister was out in school out in the West, mid-Colorado, and so I think we were driving out there after her first year in college or something or other, I'm pretty sure. I had a great aunt that lived out in Cincinnati as well, so.
Well, that's a great memory. You saw something great, that's for sure.
Yeah, that old ballpark was a classic. I mean, it's really an older vintage than Fenway in a way, because it hadn't really – Fenway's been updated a lot since 1970 for sure as well. But they had as the warning track out there, the ground went up. In other words, instead of a dirt warning track to tip you off, you could – if you were running to the wall and you were an outfielder, all of a sudden you'd be climbing a hill, so to speak, as their warning track at Crosley.
Yeah, just like the old Duffy's Cliff at Fenway back in the day.
There you go. All right, Andy, we've digressed, and too much information maybe. Who knows, but whatever.
Well, we'll tip things off by getting back into what's been going on in Major League Baseball since we last spoke. On Saturday, ace starting pitcher Jesus Luzardo pitched with a broken finger. Well, how did he do that? Well, it was his pinky. He broke that finger the night before playing a video game. Luzardo allowed 6 runs in 3 innings, taking the loss. He is now on the disabled list, or the injured list, nowadays. And obviously he got a little frustrated with the game he was playing, and he either punched the wall, punched the table. He did something, but somehow that pinky got broken from playing a video game.
I remember back in my day, Jim Lonborg went skiing one winter in an off season and injured his knee, I guess, skiing. And so that, of course, they don't allow players to ski during the off season anymore. So now imagine trying to ban video games for players. Unbelievable. I mean, that would not work.
That could be in contract going forward. We shall see how it all plays out.
There you go. What else, Andy?
Well, on Sunday, Nationals pitcher Max Scherzer pitched a complete game in a 3-1 win over the Marlins, and he had to bolt out of the park right after the final out for the birth of his third child. So big day in the Scherzer family. Also on Sunday, the Reds and Cubs combined for 10 home runs. The Reds won the game 13-12 in 10 innings. The Dodgers beat the Brewers on Sunday 16-4. Outfielder A.J. Pollock of the Dodgers had 8 RBIs. First baseman Matt Beaty had 7. And in that game, Brewers starting pitcher Alec Bettinger made his Major League debut. Wasn't that great? He allowed 11 runs in 4 innings.
I know last week, Andy, you shared a story with a pitcher hitting. Do you have another one?
Oh, yes, we do. We have 2. So who says the pitchers can't hit? On Tuesday, White Sox pitcher Dylan Cease went 3-for-3. He allowed just 1 hit in 6 shutout innings. He struck out 11 in a 9-0 win over the Reds. And Braves pitcher Huskar Yanoa hit a grand slam, his second home run of the season. He allowed 1 run in 7 innings and a 6-1 win over the Nationals.
Yeah, that's remarkable. I mean, even back in the day when neither league had the DH, I mean, pitchers didn't hit. Once in a while they'd get a hit, but, you know, like a Gary Peters or Sonny Siebert or one of those guys. I guess Juan Marich, wasn't he a pretty good hitter, if I'm not mistaken? But those are the old names. But generally, not a lot of great hitters. It seems like things have changed. But what else, Andy?
Well, yesterday some big news in terms of a pitcher. Orioles pitcher John Means threw a no-hitter against the Mariners in Seattle. Means missed the perfect game after Sam Haggerty reached on a strikeout that got by the catcher. The last no-hitter for the Orioles was Jim Palmer back in 1969.
Okay. Yeah, those were the Jim Palmer. Speaking of the Reds and Orioles, those were heydays in the late 60s, early 70s for those two franchises, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
All right, and I guess you have a couple of other notes?
Well, wrapping things up on a down note, I guess we'll say. Major League Baseball has put Hall of Fame second baseman Roberto Alomar on the ineligible list after reviewing a sexual misconduct allegation back in 2014. Alomar was working as a consultant for Major League Baseball. Toronto Blue Jays then cut ties with Alomar, removing his name from their level of excellence at Rogers Center. Then Alomar resigned from the Hall of Fame board of directors.
Okay. Yeah, definitely a down note to end, but... But you do throw
information. I think the highlight of this week's show was you being at Crosley Field. I mean, this is something that I never expected to hear. I am impressed.
Well, even at my young years at that time, I knew it was something special to be there at that time, and it was just kind of it happened to be honest with you, you know. So yeah, I mean, it was. I was at the other stadium later on as well. So years later,
I have to look up that game at Crosley Field on the Baseball Almanac or Baseball Reference. I mean, you saw the Big Red Machine in the early stages playing in that game, and Willie Mays, and oof.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had a chance to go back, but it almost looked like you could click on some video of that game as well. I did not do that yet. I was just double check the box score and stuff. But
yeah,
Perez. Woodward was the shortstop. I mean, they had all those Pete Rose leading off, those kinds of things. So yeah, there was
benches in that game. Tony Perez.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those were. And so June 24th, 1970 was the last game at Crosley. That would have been a Wednesday. I must have been there on a Monday. So just worked out that way. So
good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Well, speaking of good stuff, Andy, you bring it to us every single week.
I try to do so, Bill. I appreciate it.
He goes. Baseball insider Andy Carboni. I'm Bill Newell on MSONewsports.com.